Again, Ephesians chapter number 2 tonight. If you're willing and able, please stand with me as we read a few verses here. We will begin reading in verse number 12. The Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Let us pray, and you may be seated. Thank you for standing. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house tonight. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's already been here, Father. Pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would continue to dwell with us. I pray, God, that you would remove me and myself, Father, and only allow me to say what you'd have me to say. Please speak to hearts as only you can, and we'll give you the honor and the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for standing. And so we come to this chapter, Ephesians chapter number 2, and to be honest with you, one of my favorite books in the Bible is Ephesians, and I do say that every time I go into a different book. It's one of my favorites. But what I love about Ephesians is that we learn that we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We deserve to go to a place called hell. It then goes on to tell us how we can't work our way into heaven. And you may say, well, how's that exciting? Because it tells us Jesus paid it all. It's only by grace. It's only by him. And so I'm thankful for that. And we come to these verses, and I love this message that the Lord gave me because it goes with our theme of bringing hope to the Guatemalan people. Because he says here in these verses, look at it with me in verse number 12 at the end there, having no hope and without God in the world. Think about it. When you were lost in your trespasses and sins, when we were heading to hell faster than we could count the three, yet Jesus Christ came by our way. Even though we had no hope, but now we have hope in the Lord and Savior. And so the message tonight is really simple. Keep it simple because that's how my dad taught me. Amen. If you know the KISS acronym, keep it simple and you know what follows. Amen. But simply hope for all nations. Hope for all nations. It's not just hope for America. And I know that America needs hope, don't she? Our schools have turned away from God. Our courthouses took out the Ten Commandments. Everywhere you look, people are blaspheming the name of God. You can't even watch a movie without them taking the Lord's name in vain. You name it, sin abounds everywhere in America. America needs hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. But not just America. You see, I feel like a lot of times as Americans, we can get so consumed with just our little part of the world. But God wants us to see everyone. Let me ask you, John 3:16, many of us know it. For God so loved America. For God so loved Mexico. For God so loved Guatemala. Or for God so loved the world. See, we got to understand that hope, it's not just for a few people. And I thank God for that. On October 13, 2013, when I walked into First Baptist Church, first time since I was a kid, I wanted to know how to be saved. And a preacher named Lonnie Matley took me into Pastor John Robertson's office. And he showed me, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Guess what I knew? Why do you think I was there? I knew I was going to hell and I wanted a way out. He then went on to show me, and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Guess what I knew? I was a liar. I was far more than that. But here's what he didn't do. He didn't shut the Bible and say, all right, get out. You're not one of the elect. Oh, I thank God he went on and said, but God commendeth his love towards us. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died so that all may be saved. God says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died to offer hope to the hopeless. And so I want to see, first off, as we see the state of the world. The state of the world, I believe, first we can see it's a state of sin. Most people know this verse in Romans 5:12. It says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What we have to understand is since the very beginning, God created Adam and Eve. He put them in a perfect place, a place where there was no sin, there was no death, there was no sorrow, and yet man still chose to disobey God, bringing sin into the world. Well, after Adam did that, that built a wall in between God and man. There was a separation now, a spiritual death that took place and later would be a physical death. A little bit of time passes. First two sons born, Cain and Abel. You would think, okay, they knew their parents sinned. They're going to do better than their parents, right? Well, one pleased the Lord and the other one killed his brother. Even though God warned Cain and he said, Cain, if you're not careful, sin lieth at the door. God warned him, just as he warned his parents. And yet man still chose to sin. A little more time passes by now and we come and we see that the world is so full of sin. God says there's only one option. Destroy everything with the flood. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah built an ark to the saving of his family, and we understand how they got inside that ark and two of every animal. And then after the flood, they eventually got out and walked on dry land again. Noah, the first thing he does is he does build an altar and praises the Lord. Well, what's the next thing he does? He builds a vineyard. Now, did he do it for the unfermented grape juice? Did he do it just to have a little bit of Welch's? That wasn't the case. The next thing we know is we find him passed out drunk. But what happened? Noah found that, okay, sin led to destruction. God had a way of grace to the saving of me and my family. But yet he goes right back into sin. Now let's fast forward a little bit more time and we come to the Tower of Babel. Man begins to build up to the heavens, doing the very opposite of what God told them to do, is spread forth, going everywhere, reproducing, spreading across the whole earth. And yet man was in one place with one goal. And that goal was simply, I will make myself like unto God. What did God have to do? He went down and confounded their language. Now let's fast forward again. We come to 2022. I keep wanting to say 2021. I get my years mixed up. Do we think that it's gotten better or that it's gotten worse? There is literally murdering of innocent babies left and right. Like it's nothing. Alcohol sold everywhere. Drugs, pornography, you name it. Sin abounds everywhere. So we understand that the state of the world tonight is a state of sin. Everywhere. I know when we were in Elgin, Illinois, we were going to Providence Baptist College, and I was out soul winning at Carpentersville on my bus route. And I asked the man, preacher, I asked him, I said, have you ever sinned? He told me no. I said, have you ever lied before? He said, no, I've never lied, and he walked away. I wanted to say, you're lying right now, but he had a wrench in his hand, and I'm not going to do that. So I kept walking, amen. But he lied to me right there. We have to be honest. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For somebody to be saved, they have to first realize they're lost. In order to find something, it has to be lost first. So we understand that the state of the world is a state of sin, but letter B here is we see the state of the world's spirit. The state of the world's spirit, the attitude, the system of things of the world. Let's look at verse number 2 of chapter 2. Wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. To put it simply, the attitude, the mindset of this world, it is not the mindset to be a Christian. It's not the mindset to do right because that's the right thing to do. That generation, I'm sorry, but it's gone. My generation, we were taught, even in school, I went to public school and we were taught humanism. We were taught evolution. We were taught, you're your own God. If it makes you feel good, do it. Whatever you want to do, it don't matter. Are you happy? Do you love what you're doing? That's all that matters for you. That's the state of our world's spirit. That's the mindset of the world. Is literally whatever you want to do. It does not matter what the Bible says. It only matters if it feels good to you. Well, that's a complete opposite to Scripture. Some of you may recognize these men I'm about to read a quote from. One is Don Lemon. He is a CNN anchor. I don't watch CNN, amen, for many good reasons. But he said this on live TV. He said, Jesus Christ, if you believe in, If that's who you believe in, Jesus Christ admittedly was not perfect when he was on the earth. The mindset of the world is that of the Antichrist. The Bible teaches that the spirit of the Antichrist are those that deny Jesus Christ, deny the virgin birth, deny the deity of Christ. Denying all of that, what is the spirit of the world today? You ask somebody, well, who was Jesus? If they admit he was real, they'll say, well, he was a good person. He was a good teacher. Yeah, he was a good man. Yeah, he did a lot of good things. But that is not the truth of reality. What other man had come and lived on earth to change even the very calendar that we use? What man had more of an influence than every king that's ever walked the face of the earth? What man had more of an influence than every president we've ever had in the White House other than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. God the Son literally robed in flesh and dwelt among us. And yet the spirit of the world denies that very fact. Here's another one for you, and he's not governor anymore. I'd like to say it's a good thing for New York, but they didn't get another good one, amen. So Governor Cuomo said this in an interview. He said the number, speaking of the COVID cases, is down because we brought it down. Listen to this right here. God did not do that. What was he saying? Well, if you remember in the book of Acts, when Herod gave God not the glory, I was looking for an angel to strike him down at that moment because he was taking all the glory for himself. How can a man control any disease? Even if it is a man-made disease, that does not matter. Man cannot control where it goes. It's a disease. And yet he was taking all the credit and all the glory for himself. See, the thing that we must realize, and many of us, if not all of us do, is that the state of the world is a state of sin. And the world's spirit, the world's attitude towards God and the things of God is whatever the Bible says, let's do the opposite. That's how I was taught. That's how I grew up. Whatever I wanted to do, that's what I did. I went to church as a kid and I stopped going. I said, none of my family is going, so it don't matter. When I was 12 years old, I thought God was a genie. Meaning that I thought whatever I prayed and asked God for, that's what he would give me. When God didn't give me something I asked for, I said, well, either God don't care or he don't exist. And I went on and I lived my life full of sin. When I was in high school, I started realizing, well, there has to be God. Just look around. Look at DNA itself. How can we explain that if not for a creator? So, well, if there is a God, then his name has to be Jesus. So, well, if it's Jesus, then the Bible has to be true. I tried reading the Bible. I didn't understand one word, but darkness can't comprehend the light. But the only thing I knew from the Bible was sinners went to hell. I definitely knew I was a sinner. I wrestled with that from May of 2013 all the way to October before I finally said, I have enough of this. I went out and I bought a suit. I figured they wouldn't let me in church without a suit, preacher. I know that's not true, but I didn't think they wanted me in there with my saggy pants and my chains around my neck. I didn't think they would want that, so I went out and I bought a $100 suit at JCPenney's. Thank God for JCPenney's. And then a couple months later, they closed down. I don't know if it's because I was there. But anyway, I realized that I was in a state of sin. I realized that my attitude and my spirit was a complete opposite of what God's was. And I needed to know what God's mind was. I needed to know how to be saved. I had no clue. I was walking around blind. I showed up at that church on October 13, 2013. You'll hear me say that often because that's the greatest day of my life. I know my wife will argue and say, no, it's the day you met me, amen. But no, that's not the case. Although that was a good day. But I had to first realize that I was lost. I had to first realize where I was at. I had to first realize where I was going before I could ever realize what Jesus had done. And the gravity of it. We see not only the state of the world, but secondly, here we see the salvation offered to the world. You see, the world is in a pretty depressing state. If we're honest, what the Bible says right there, having no hope and without God in the world, that's really depressing. That's really breaks your heart, realizing the state of the whole world is in a state of no hope. But thank God it don't stop there. Look at verse number 8 and 9 with me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now go ahead and up to verse number 3, and we'll read 3 and 4. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Here's the good news. We see right there in verse number 3, the state of the world. We see that clearly. Verse number 4, two words I love in the Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us. So I want us to see first the great love of God. The great love of God. Literally, we read the state of the world in verse number 3. We see how before we met Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were walking about doing whatever we wanted. We may have been the best person in the world, but we were still a sinner. We were still heading to hell because of the sins that we have committed. And yet, even though we deserve to go to the lake of fire and spend an eternity there with the devil and the angels that followed him, even though we deserve to go there, God stepped in the way. He said, you don't have to. He says, I love you so much, I'm going to send my only begotten Son to dwell among you, to live a perfect life, to give you an example of what to follow. And then he is going to die on the cross of Calvary for your sins, to pay a debt he did not owe for us. And then 3 days later, he would rise again from the grave, offering salvation to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Imagine it with me, that great love of God. You know, we think often of God the Father and his love, how he sent the begotten Son, Jesus, to the earth, and how he would die on the cross at Calvary, and all those amazing things. And I tell you, that's a great love. Well, let's think about the love of Jesus, who willingly left his throne on high, willingly left the right hand of his Father, and left the praise of the angels that were behind him singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, left a place where there was no death, a place where there is no sorrow, a place where there is no politics, there is no disease, there is no cancer, there is no suffering. He left that place to come here because of his love for us. And though we can't wrap our minds around it, at least I can't, why would he love someone like me? Why? I know my faults. When I look in the mirror, I know my failures. And yet God says, I love you. Oh, to think about the great love of God. But only the great love of God, let her be here, is the great gift of God. The great gift of God. We read in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that because of this great love of God and the death of Christ on Calvary and the resurrection, Jesus Christ paid for our gift so that we can simply receive it, repent, and call on his name, and he shall save us. You know, when you go under a Christmas tree and you see your name on a gift there, you didn't pay for that gift, at least I hope not, amen. If you had to buy your own Christmas gifts, it's a little depressing. But when I buy my wife a gift, I don't tell her, all right, honey, when you open that up, it costs this much money. So once you open that and receive that, you're going to pay me for it. It's not how you give a gift, is it? You pay for it, and then you don't tell them what you paid for it many times. If you do, sometimes it's just mean rubbing it in their face. But God sent his only begotten Son to pay for our salvation. And all he says is just receive it. Receive it. Call on me and I will save you. I will answer. Just call on me. Trust in me. That great love of God purchased the great gift of God that's offered to a world that's in a state of sin. And lastly here, as we move on and close with point number 3, is saints bearing hope to the world. Saints bearing hope to the world. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. I want to put it really simple tonight. The world is in a state of sin, and God offers salvation to all. But here's the truth. Jesus Christ is not walking around in the flesh today. He's seated on the right hand of his Father. And guess what he wants to do? He wants to use us to bring the message of hope. You see, what we must understand is that ministry of reconciliation, I explain it to people like this. When Andrew went out and got Peter, he first found his own brother and brought him to Jesus. What did Andrew do for Peter? He brought him to God. Did Andrew save Peter? No, Peter had to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior himself. But all Andrew had to do was get it started. He had to bring them together. What did Christ do on Calvary? I explained it to people really simple. I say with one hand, he was reaching up to heaven. With the other hand, he was reaching down to man, reconciling us together that we can have a way when there was no way. God allows us to be part of that ministry of reconciliation, to bring others that hopeful message. We see first God's commission, Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, we call this the Great Commission because commission literally means the act of committing or sending or entrusting. So to put it really, really simple, God is entrusting every born-again child of God to go and tell somebody about Jesus. It's really that simple. God has trusted us. And I think about that often when I'm out soul winning, preacher, to think that when I'm out there, God is trusting me to tell somebody else. And when I fail him, guess what? I wasn't worthy of that trust. I broke his trust. And yet, he still says, I still trust you to do it. Come on, Thomas, get out there and try again. God has entrusted us to maybe go out and knock on doors, maybe invite people to church that you work with, give them a gospel track, whatever the case may be. Maybe you work on a bus route. I love the bus ministry. You want to talk about a ministry that gets you into more homes than anything else is the bus ministry. Because if you love on people's kids, then the parents will know you love them. When people love on my son Charles and they give him gifts that he don't need any more toys, amen, but they give him toys anyway, I know that they're loving on my son. And that means a lot to me as his parent. It means the same way to those kids that we go out and bring to church. When we tell them that God loves them and they come home excited and telling their family, hey, I want to go to church next week too. Their parents see that. And it's worth it. And lastly here, as we close, point B, letter B, is God chooses common people. I feel like a lot of times we think it's only certain people that can share the gospel. It's only certain people that can knock on somebody's door. It's only certain people that can be missionaries. It's only certain people that can do this or that or the other. But 1 Corinthians 15 puts it really simple. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Paul put it simply, the only thing you need to share the gospel is have first received it. That's it. If you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the power to go and tell somebody else. You have been entrusted and enabled. I just want to close with this thought. You know, I'll be honest with you. I'm thankful that God's not looking for the best looking, because I'd be out of luck. God's not looking for the best orator. I'd be out of luck again. God's not looking for those that have a full set of hair. Thank God. Amen. But what is God looking for? You remember Moses? Moses said, but God, I can't do it. I got a speech problem. Many believe he had a speech impediment like stuttering. Whatever the case may be, God said, I don't want your excuses. He said, Moses, I'm not looking for any special ability. I'm simply looking for availability. All I'm looking for, Moses, is for you to clear your calendar and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. And we as Christians tonight and every day of our life should simply say, God, my calendar's open. Whoever you want me to talk to today, just bring him in front of me. Or you know what, Lord, if you want me to go out of my way to talk to him, I'll go out of my way. We should simply be able to say, God, I know I'm nothing special. I'm not. I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody. And his name is Jesus. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Please, nobody looking around. I'll turn it over to your pastor for the invitation here. Thank you for listening so well.
You're here tonight and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You sure heard a very plain and simple and precise presentation of the gospel. Most important thing that you can know tonight is that you're ready for heaven. You're on your way to heaven. If you're here and you say, preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure I would go to heaven. You have an opportunity in this invitation to get that thing fixed and to know that, to be able to lay your head on your pillow in just a few hours with the peace that passeth all understanding, knowing that Christ is your Savior. But it's not just a salvation message that we heard. It's a message of responsibility. Once we've received Christ, you know what? Every single one of us from that time forward is qualified to tell somebody else about what God did for us. And so you let the Lord speak to your heart. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've heard. Lord, move in a very specific and sweet way during the invitation. We pray these things in Jesus' name.